ladies and gentlemen, live from the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California, Ring Talk, your inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Brought to you right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network by the World Boxing Association and ringtalk.com. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in history.
Believe me, when he climbs into the ring, he'll have the people falling in the aisles.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pedro Fernandez.
That was never my intent to have people falling in the aisles, but I wanted them to fall in the ring, no doubt about that. Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yes. My name is Pedro Fernandez, a former seven-time amateur boxing champion, and today I deliver. We'll talk about the year review thus far. I'm talking about the first 4 months of boxing here in the United States and around the globe, and of course, we'll also talk some mixed martial arts a little bit later. But first up, in my first segment after the break, it'll talk about the late, great Bert Sugar. Bert the Hat Sugar, former Ring Magazine editor, the man authored over 80 books. We spent a lot of time together. We were broadcast partners. So there's lots of things to talk about, lots of good stories to talk about when it comes to Bert the Hat Sugar. So we'll spend some time doing that. We'll bring in KP, Kevin Perry, the king of ringtalk.com. He's the king of a few other things, but he's the king of ringtalk.com when it comes to putting the website together. We'll talk with him about the first quarter or the first third of 2012 as far as the sport of professional boxing is concerned and where it is going. I mean, are we headed to big fights? Are we ever headed to that Mayweather-Manny Pacquiao fight, the fight that everybody wants to see? Will it happen? Probably not. Manny's got a little shortage when it comes to intestinal fortitude. I mean, you know, he's got his share of issues, and the bottom line is he's on the decline. And when you're fighting on the decline, your confidence goes, and after Juan Manuel Marquez, I doubt if he has any confidence whatsoever. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Open phone lines. That means toll-free, coast-to-coast, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And you can hold your man.
Bonus round time. If you can't teach an old dog new tricks, what can you teach him?
Conversational French?
Correct.
Ooh.
Gingerbread men are...
Gingerbread boys, all grown up.
Correct. True or false? Netflix lets you watch movies instantly through your game console or other devices.
Duh, true.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, did I just win that new car over there?
No, I did.
Great shot, Bob. I think you're on.
I just followed your lead.
Hey, by the way, did you break ground on your new building?
No way. I'm holding off until I see what the future holds.
So you're seeing a fortune teller or something?
You know what I mean. Things look a little uncertain.
The only thing certain in business is if you're not growing, you're losing. Yeah, we just opened our fifth facility last week. If you're following my lead, you'll call General Steel. Their pre-engineered steel buildings could save you as much as half the cost compared to conventional buildings. And they're up in nearly half the time, and back with a 50-year structural warranty.
Yeah, but steel buildings...
Hey, you've seen my building. Does it look like steel?
No, it looks great.
Ask about rebates that could save you up to $20,000. Look, you can stop paying rent and own a building that suits your business better and probably saves you money by operating more efficiently. In times like these, don't stop spending. Just spend wisely.
Call 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MY-TV. That's 877-499-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MY-TV. That's 877-499-MY-TV.
You can now hear your favorite Sports Byline USA Network shows while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. The latest episode is always available. Stitcher brings radio and podcast listeners a better way to listen to their favorite shows and helps them discover new content. Stitcher delivers personalized audio streams on demand right on your smartphone. Available for your iPhone, Android phones, WebOS phones, or your BlackBerry. Stitcher is also available in some GM and Ford dashboard systems. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Yeah, after getting his brain rattled on more than one occasion by George Foreman, I would have to say that Joe's telling the truth there. George Foreman does punch well. Of course, I saw George Foreman back in the days of the Golden Gloves here in San Francisco, 1966, 1967. He was a kid from the Job Corps over in Newark, California, of course, originally out of Texas, but he was transported to California in order to try to clean up his life, get him out of the hood. I think he was part of the 11th Ward down there in Houston, but he got his life together. Of course, went on to win an Olympic gold medal in 1968, became the world heavyweight champion in 1973, a short-lived title run because he ran into an old guy that supposedly had no chance whatsoever, a 7 or 8 to 1 underdog. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali. That was in late 1974. And, of course, Ali did the rope-a-dope. And George Foreman, being the idiot that he was, punched himself out. And before you know it, Ali was the world heavyweight champion for the second time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. Earlier this week, and I have a hard time talking about this because he was a pretty good guy. Earlier this week, a good friend of mine died. And when I say a good friend, I mean somebody in boxing. And you don't have that many good friends in boxing. He was a guy that I could call on occasion, and we'd talk boxing, whether it be on the air or off the air. We'd always talk about, you know, politics. We talk about the Kennedy assassination. We talk about Watergate. I mean, Bert Sugar, having penned 80 books in his time, he was a genius when it came to just about any subject you want to put it to, okay? But he was one of those guys that I thought he should have died a long time ago. Either that or he was immortal, one or the other, because he drank to like a fish. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. You just wouldn't believe it. But he was the hat, I called him, Bert the Hat Sugar. He was the face of the boxing media. I mean, when he walked into a room, it was sort of like Mike Tyson or John Lennon or Muhammad Ali or somebody like that walking into a room. I mean, the room just became his room. No matter where he was, the room was his, okay? And I remember many times him walking into Madison Square Garden, the press room, or the Las Vegas Hilton or Caesar's Palace or the Mirage, the MGM Grand. I can go on and on, okay? Any room that he walked into, Bert owned. His personality was so commanding that his presence was just overwhelming. I mean, everybody was in awe of him except me because, you know, I knew him. But most people were really in awe of him. They couldn't wait to, like, hang on to him. Oh, Bert, how are you? This and that. And give him all these accolades, this and that. When he really wasn't a man that was into accolades. He really wasn't into being complimented. He was just into being Bert the Hat Sugar, okay? And, you know, when I think about the editor of the late Ring magazine and how funny it was when Jack Fisk, Jacob Finkelstein, my former mentor, the man I named my daughter Jacqueline Fernandez after, God, 22 years ago. Anyway, Jack was the writer of the SF Chronicle for like 40-plus years, and Bert was the editor of the Ring magazine. Of course, Ring used to be the Bible of boxing. Now I call it the rag of boxing, but at one point in time, it was the Bible of boxing. In fact, they even had wrestling results at the back of Ring magazine. I mean, Ring magazine was the stuff as far as the 60s and the 70s were concerned, and maybe a little bit into the 80s, but about midway through the 1980s, Flash magazine came along and Boxing Update magazine came along, and They were weekly publications. Actually, they came out every 10 days, and those were magazines that sort of brought me to the forefront of the boxing world and made me a name, per se. But they sort of took over as far as the magazines were concerned. Because why would you buy a magazine that was printed 3 or 4 months earlier when you can buy Flash Magazine or Boxing Update Magazine and have it, you know, shipped to your house airmail 1 or 2 days after it was printed? In other words, if we had the fights last week, as far as Flash was concerned, you'd have the results in your mailbox by Wednesday. I mean, the entire fight results, the undercards, all the stories going around as far as the world of boxing was concerned, Flash was really it. And what's funny about Flash is that Mike Tyson used to think that I was Flash. And I was Flash to an extent. I was the most prolific writer, the most writer that caused the most controversy and, you know, sort of got people a little riled up there at Flash and Boxing Update magazines. But the real Flash was Flash Gordon. His name was Malcolm Flash Gordon. He ran a publication out in New York City called Tonight's Boxing Program. And he started a lot of trouble with that. Of course, he's the one that exposed Don King in his fixed boxing tournament, the U.S. boxing tournament back in the 70s. And, I mean, Malcolm Flash Gordon did his thing. But what happened to Flash was that, and it almost happened to me, because what happens is when you blow these major stories, I mean, that should result in indictments and people going to jail and things like that, much like I did with Operation Matchbooks and Bob Arum's stepson, Todd DeBuff, and Bruce Trampler and people like that down there at the Top Rank office, you know, them fixing fights and then gloating over fixed fights afterwards. Not Arum, but his subordinates. And when I blew that case, and I have the actual tapes and thing, all that kind of good stuff, and the FBI report, so if anybody ever wants to doubt me or sue me, come do it, because I've got it. You know, it was a bit frustrating. In fact, you know, I sort of walked around one night, and I said to him, I was in Vegas, and I found out that the then Attorney General John Ashcroft was not going to prosecute this case after there were already sealed indictments by a grand jury there in Las Vegas. It really was... a bit of an eye opener, and I think it really revealed to me that money talks and the rest of it walks. Okay, and if you've got power, like the former U.S. attorney himself, Bob Arum, and you've got people like Sig Rogish pulling strings for you, of course, Sig, the most powerful man in the Republican Party, as far as the state of Nevada is concerned, I believe he was an advisor to the first George Bush, and he was tight with Nixon. I mean, he goes way, way back. He's got to be about 7 years old now. But the bottom line is he was the most powerful guy as far as political types in Nevada, no question about that. And I think Sig Rogish did a lot to get this swept under the rug because, you know, Operation Matchbox, we had people fixing fights. We had people taking money. There were videotapes. There were audio tapes. There were eyewitnesses, the whole nine yards. I mean, you couldn't put together a more solid case. The problem in that case was that two of the fringe players on the case, few of the fringe players were FBI agents. Take that back, New York City policemen. And what they did was they went out and they were murdering people from the mob in New York City. I think they were accused of like committing 6 or 7 hits. And that sort of tarnished the actual Operation Matchbox. So what Ashcroft, then Attorney General John Ashcroft, what he decided to do was he was going to, you know, discard the entire case. So the whole entire case went away. I mean, everything went away. People like Frankie Manzioni, the undercover cop that was from New York City. Of course, he worked with the FBI and the agent in charge of the case, Henry Schlump, down there in Las Vegas. I mean, we were all kind of depressed for a while after that, after the Bush administration threw that case out. I mean, we were just like mind blown. As I said, I was walking around Las Vegas like lost and turned out, like that song by the Whispers. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, but the bottom line was Flash Gordon, he freaked out a little bit, and he never became the same. It sort of psychologically broke him when he did break that fight-fixing tournament, and then, of course, wasn't rewarded for it, and boxing really did nothing to improve itself afterwards. Boxing's sort of like a whore, and what I mean by like a whore is you can catch her with some type of social disease, and she'll continue whoring. I mean, it's not a big thing to her. She'll just continue doing her thing. Ain't no big thing, okay, and that's the way boxing is. Anyway, back to Burt Sugar and the Riviera Hotel. Bert and I were doing a TV series at the Riviera in the early 1990s for late promoter Lou Falcino, and it was a once-a-month thing. We were doing a sports bar network show, and everybody said, what are you doing a sports bar network show? And sports bars aren't going to catch on. They're not going to catch on. Well, now they're They're the bomb. That's where everybody goes to watch football, baseball, boxing, MMA. Of course, Ricky Sports Theater over there in San Leandro does a great crowd for the NFL, for some baseball games, and, of course, especially for boxing and MMA. So, you know, the sports bar thing, it did catch on. But at first, Lou Falcino was fighting an uphill battle, and people were saying to him, you know, Lou, you're losing a few bucks here. And Lou said, no, I'm breaking even. So as long as I'm breaking even, not losing any money, I'm going to keep continuing to do this. So it was myself, Bert Sugar, and Arnie Rosenthal. Arnie Rosenthal was the blow-by-blow announcer. And I say blow-by-blow, I mean that in more than one way. Anyway, the bottom line was Bert and I worked together, and Bert was the third wheel on the commentary. I offered the color commentary, and Bert offered the expert analysis. But, you know, anytime Bert was in the house, it was always a party. I mean, it was just no doubt about it. I remember one night, we call him the Hat, Bert the Hat Sugar. We were at a party in Lou Falcino's suite at the Riviera Hotel, and it was a birthday party for somebody. I figured we were blowing out candles or something like that. And Bert and Lou Falcino had a 35-year younger blonde girlfriend. I called her a bimbette. And to call her the B word would not be inappropriate, okay? It's just bimbo, and I don't mean bimbo when I say the B word. Took full advantage of having Lou being her sugar daddy, okay? So we're cutting this cake, and Lou's girlfriend is antagonizing Bert Sugar. She's antagonizing him. I mean, she's like, you know, in his face and calling him names and mocking him and the whole nine yards, you know? And being a proud man, he didn't want to start any trouble, but he didn't want to take it either. So he fired back a few occasional jabs, this and that. And one jab in particular, you know, caught the blonde bimbo right in the gut, and she didn't dig it much. So she snuck up behind Bert, took off his hat, and flung it across the room like it was a Frisbee. Well, nobody had ever seen Bert Sugar without his hat. I think there was one other instance in the history of boxing where Bert the Hat Sugar wasn't wearing his hat. And the reason why he didn't wear his hat, I think, had a lot to do with the fact he didn't have much hair. Okay, so when she flung that hat across the room like a Frisbee, Bert went off. And I've never heard Bert use words like A, B, and C before in your entire life. I mean, he used all three of them. And it was appropriate because I thought she was just, you know, a horrible, horrible, horrible human being. In fact, when Lou Brett ended up breaking up with her and he didn't bring her back to any more of those broadcasts, it was a better day. We had better parties afterwards. We had better production meetings. So she would sit in on the production meetings beforehand and she would stick her two cents in. She knew nothing about TV. She knew nothing about boxing, but she was Lou's girlfriend. That was her sugar daddy, per se, okay? So Lou put up with her crap because he was getting to bang some 35-year younger broad than he was. And I figure Lou had to be close to 65, just about 65. So she had to be about, I guess, about 30, 32, somewhere around there. Anyway, regardless, Bert told her to go take a flying leap and hurl those words at her, and that was that, you know, and that was the end of that. So we never had another party in Lou Falcino's suite after that, even though the TV series lasted another 6 months. That sort of ended the parties, per se. And what happened was Bert and I would meet at the Riviera Bar. And the Riviera Hotel back in that day was still connected. And what I mean by connected is I mean connected to the mob. The mob still ran the joint to an extent. And that was back when Las Vegas was Las Vegas, folks, as I'll tell you. Now that corporate America's taken over and everything's all about corporations and making a profit, this and that, the customer service level has dropped. People don't take care of you. It's not the Las Vegas that I grew up on. It's just not. It's not the Las Vegas of the late 1970s or the 1980s and the early 1990s. Ever since the mob was running out of there, and that happened probably about, I guess the last mob guy that I knew in Vegas that was running a casino, I won't mention his name, but he went about 1993, 1994. Anyway, but at the end of the day, you know, I still think the mob did a better job than the corporate America, the corporate giants that run the casinos now. So anyway, we go back to me and the Bert the Hat Sugar. In 1995, we're doing the Tommy the Duke Morrison Razor Ruddock fight in Kansas City. And during the prelims, I guess an hour or so before the main event, Sugar left me alone in the broadcast booth to spend 10 minutes offering some commentary on the domestic TV feed, the pay-per-view feed. So we returned an hour later as the main event fighters were walking to the ring. And my only hope, folks, was that nobody in our vicinity would strike a match. His bird's breath was about as toxic as lighter fluid. So he was heated. He had a great time. He was a good guy. I miss him. I know the world of boxing will miss him. I know his family will miss him. And he is a member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame, as is Jack Fisk. And if there's ever two writers that belong there, it's Jack Fisk and Bert Sugar. So to the late, great Bert Sugar, may you rest in peace, my friend.
Are you in need of an IRS tax bailout? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals that specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. During these tough economic times, the IRS is looking for every penny they can get, and we know how to negotiate with them for you. We've settled millions of dollars of back taxes for a fraction of the cost. Call 800-390-9240 now and find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. Call IRS Tax Advisors at 800-390-9240 now. You still have time before the tax laws change. Call today for your free no-obligation consultation. This single telephone call with one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals could save you thousands. Call IRS Tax Advisors at 800-390-9240. That's 800-390-9240.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-358-3544. That's 1-800-358-3544.
If you're looking for a better way to clean the air in your home or office, you need the all-new Ozone Light. It's as simple as changing your light bulbs. The Ozone Light looks like a normal spiral type of light bulb. It screws in most standard light sockets, but it's not a normal light bulb. It's coated with titanium dioxide. It's completely safe, but this unique coating kills most airborne bacteria, mold spores, and neutralizes odors. Just one light cleans the air in an entire room and lasts 8 times longer than the normal light bulb. If you have smokers, if you have allergies, if you have pet odors, mold, or mildew, you need the Ozone Light. It will wipe them out, and you have our word. If you're not satisfied with the way the Ozone Light cleans the air in your home, simply return it for a full refund.
Call 1-800-380-4259, 1-800-380-4259, 1-800-380-4259, or visit airtimestore.com, airtimestore.com.
Boxing is an unnatural act. Because everything in it is backwards. You want to move to the left. You don't step left. You push on the right toe. To move right, you use your left toe. Instead of running from the pain like a sane person would do, you step into it.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a step going strong. So long. Oh,
27 plus years now, folks. Often imitated, never duplicated. This is your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and I would not be, how can I put this? I'm not being conceited, but it's not bragging when you're telling the truth, okay? A lot of guys out there have boxing radio shows. You can listen to them on the web, and if you think that any of those shows are more entertaining or have more together than I do, please let me know, because I will listen to that show and try to pick something up. But I'm telling you, I've listened to the other shows, and God bless them all, but they couldn't carry my jockstrap. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, on the line from his lair in Southern California is my main man when it comes to running the boxing scene at ringtalk.com. I'm talking about the webmaster himself and a future father. He's going to be a dad in about 7 months. I'm talking about KP Kevin Perry. Kevin, congratulations on the kid.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. So what's it going to be like to be a dad?
I guess I'm going to find out pretty soon, but it's very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. Let's talk about the first 4 months of the first 3 months of boxing, the first quarter here in 2012 here in the United States and around the globe. What fights really stand out for you, the boxing writer?
Well, kind of what I wanted to start out with was this quote that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, and it's "Don't mess with Texas." And I think Texas has really kind of overshadowed the boxing scene for the last 3 months, and a lot of the controversy that's been going on over there.
Why? Because Dickie Cole runs the Athletic Commission, is probably the most corrupt commission in the United States, if not the world?
Yeah, you could say that. You know, I mean, a lot of what's going on over there either seems incompetence, corruption. There's a variety of words to describe Texas as far as being a boxing commission. For one example, was Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., when he fought his last fight, I can't remember who he was in the ring with, Marco Antonio Rubio.
Right.
He skipped out on, well, he didn't skip out on his post-fight drug test. They actually didn't end up drug testing either of the main event fighters. And Chavez Jr., obviously, as many people know, he tested positive for a diuretic a few years ago.
Yeah, but
so his career is definitely suspect.
I know, but Kevin, let me interrupt you for a second. You have to be honest now. Now, where in the world, where in an entire arena could the Athletic Commission find two cups that you could put a top on, be it coffee cups or whatever, seal it with a piece of tape and a signature? I mean, this was an impossible task for Dickie Cole. I mean, I think you're asking too much for him. I really do. I mean, that's all he had to do was come up with two cups, seal them, and put his signature on them, and that would have done it. But I don't think they ever really wanted to drug test Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. because you spoke of his past, the diuretic that was caught in his system. Now, the diuretic could have been used for two reasons, as my medical friends have told me. It was either used to mask the use of a steroid or it was used to lose weight. Now, we know he has weight issues making 160 pounds because he steps in the ring at 180 pounds plus. Okay, so
I'm sure there's a possibility that could be used for both reasons instead of just one. I mean, okay. I think that's a logical way to look at it because obviously people use it to cut weight, and people also use it as a masking agent. In his case, he always struggles to make weight, and he has a past history of being busted for the drug. So, I mean, you definitely could come to the conclusion he's using it and he's getting two benefits instead of one.
Well, you know, He's not one of my favorite fighters, and I met the kid several times. I interviewed him in San Jose, California, back when he didn't even shave. I mean, he told me he shaved like once or twice every few months, so he wasn't even shaving. He really was a little baby-faced kid, and, you know, he's grown into a man now, and obviously, you know, he's got his father's legacy to pass to live by, and I think that's a little bit tough, don't you? I mean, the Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., although I thought he lost to Dwight Pratchett, no question about that. I thought he was on his way to losing to Meldrick Taylor before Richard Steele ended up stopping that fight, I think appropriately, in the 12th round back in 1990 because Lou Duva was standing on the apron and he had grabbed Meldrick's attention and taken it away from the referee. But all Meldrick had to do was look at referee Richard Steele and nod his head up and down. The fight would have continued and the fight would have been over in about 3 seconds. And I think that Meldrick Taylor would have won a decision, but he didn't win a decision. Of course, Julio Cesar Chavez declared a TKO winner there. But, you know, how can I put this? The kid's got a lot to live up to. I don't think he could hold his father's gym bag, let alone his jock strap. He's not that good of a fighter. I think he mainly relies.
You know what? I'm actually going to give counted a little bit of credit. I don't really give the guy a whole lot of credit, but he does have a lot to live up to. And I think, I mean, how many other fighters could you look at who have famous fathers in the sport of boxing, and their sons have even come close to accomplishing what Chavez Jr. has? I know he's been has a gift belt, and he's kind of beaten a lot of stiffs, but he has beaten a few, I guess you could say, decent or world-class level opponents, even though he did kind of have some unfair advantages in doing so.
Okay.
Freeze that thought right there. Well, it's Kevin Perry, folks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're talking boxing until the top of the hour right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, the American Forces Network. Want to say hello out there to all the troops and, of course, the cable radio network as well, Channel 2. And, of course, you can always check out the show, the podcast, at ringtalk.com. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong.
This is no mere machine. The Jaguar XJ is too seductive, too instinctive to be just a mere machine. Get inside, press the start button. It doesn't sound like a mere machine. It roars to life. Experience the agility of its lightweight aluminum body. Feel it respond to your every wish. No, this is no mere machine. This is the one machine as alive as you are. And your Jaguar retailer would love to show you just how good that can feel. The 2012 Jaguar XJ. How alive are you?
Lease a 2012 XJ for $799 a month, 36 months with $49.95 due at signing. Visit your local Jaguar retailer, go to jaguarusa.com, or call 1-800-4-JAGUAR for details. Lease rates for well-qualified buyers as determined by approved lender. Retailers have actual amounts, taxes, title, license, and fees due at signing. Residency restrictions apply. For special lease and finance terms, take new delivery from retailer stock by 4/30/12. Jaguar or approved lender may rescind or amend this offer without notice.
Watch your free adult movie now at FireTV.xxx. Now all your favorite adult movies are available 24/7 at the touch of a button. The hottest stars, 15,000 movies, and 75,000 clips from over 100 erotic studios, all ready for your unlimited viewing pleasure. No more midnight trips to the video store. No more DVDs to deal with. On your smartphone, on your computer, on any connected device, anytime, anywhere. Go to FYRETV.xxx. XXX to watch your free movie now. Play with Fire. Fire TV, the ultimate adult video experience. FireTV.xxx, on demand adult video. That's FYRETV.xxx. Get our exclusive feature film free. Go to FireTV.xxx now and enter promo code XXX. That's FYRETV.xxx. Promo code XXX.
Do you have a debt problem? Well, now you can finally do something about those collection calls. You can only avoid your mail and the phone for so long. That's why you need to call the Debt Solutions Network. We have agents standing by right now to assist you with your debt problems. Credit card debt, collection accounts, medical bills, and repossessions. Call now for relief.
800-814-5031. That's 800-814-5031. Not available in all states.
When tech consultant Bob Perkins stays at La Quinta, he uses the latest HD TV with plug and play to get amped for his presentation. He plugs in his laptop, puts his charts up on a flat screen, and cues up some 80s shock rock.
Okay, third quarter output.
And after that kind of prep, you know what Bob does in his meeting? Whoa. He bowls them over. La Quinta Inns and Suites. Book your next successful stay at LQ.com.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. Well, what a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy, you put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
What What you see is what you get each and every Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific time right here on the Esports Byline Broadcast Network. That is my friend, the great L.J. Reynolds of the Dramatics, of course, out of Detroit, Michigan. And L.J. and I talk boxing once in a while. In fact, maybe I'll try to have L.J. on the show in the next couple of weeks because L.J. knows his boxing, as did his former co-lead singer, the late Ron Banks, who passed away about a year and a half ago. God rest his soul. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. And we're talking with Kevin Perry, and he brought up Texas and, of course, the Texas State Athletic Commission. Now, I want to ask you this before we go on to the biggest robbery, the biggest heist in many, 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 many a moon. I'm talking about the Tavares Cloud, Gabriel Campillo fight of a couple of months ago. But last week, James Kirkland took on Carlos Molina, and Carlos Molina was ahead on the scorecards, 87-83, 80, he was ahead by 3 points, 4 points, and then that the worst judge in the history of boxing, as far as either he's corrupt, he's inept, or he's blind, one of the three. I'm talking about Gail Van Hoy, the man that gave Paulo Ayala that fight in 2000 over Hugo D'Anzo after Hugo beat Paulie like a girl. He beat him like a girl for 10 out of 12 rounds, if not 11 out of 12 rounds, and yet Gail Van Hoy gave him the fight. And, of course, Gail Van Hoy was involved with the James, Tony, Samuel, Peter controversial scoring down there in L.A., and he continues to get assignments because of the fact that he'll go for the house fighter no matter what. And what happened last week in a fight that Molina was clearly winning, even most of Kirkland's people felt that Molina was winning, guess what? Gail Van Hoy had Kirkland up by a point. So let's go back to the Kirkland-Molina fight and the ending. Now, once the bell did ring, didn't it, Kevin? The bell did ring, didn't it?
Yeah, the bell did ring. From what I remember, Molina already arose to his feet, I think, after the bell had rung. And John Shorley, the referee, he's getting a lot of criticism, which is somewhat warranted, but he didn't make the disqualification ruling on his own. He did it on advice of the commission.
No, he was told to. He was told to do it.
Yeah, and what happened was during the count, which Shorley was administering, Molina's corner stepped in the ring, and technically, you know, by the rules, I think it's by the ABC that if a fighter or if a corner enters the ring while you know the round is still going on, which he was administering the count, so the round technically wasn't over, automatically that corner is disqualified, and that's what happened, and that's what created all the controversy.
But let's be honest, though, the bell had rung. It was at the referee's discretion. I read the Association of Boxing Commission rules, and it's at the referee's discretion, and the referee felt that it wasn't a disqualifiable offense. He did not disqualify him, but yet Dickie Cole, who I no longer talk to. Dick Cole and I were friends at one point in time. We spent a lot of time together over a few cocktails in places like Hawaii and Las Vegas and in Atlantic City and New York City and Texas, of course. But he's not a friend of mine anymore. And what I think is really, really indicative of how far Dickie Cole has fallen off the corruption ladder is that Arlen Spino Bynum, the former WBC counsel and the retired attorney in Dallas, Texas, he doesn't even talk to Dickie anymore. He won't even communicate with him anymore. So Dick Cole's lost a lot of friends, per se, and yet he's still in control of the Texas State Athletic Commission. But I think he was the one that told Shorley that he had to disqualify the fighter who wasn't the house fighter, the fighter who was ahead, the fighter, if the fight continued, he probably would have won a split decision, if not a unanimous decision. But the bottom line is, I think Carlos Molina was shorter last week. But let's go back a couple of months. Gabriel Campillo beat the snot out of Tavares Cloud. I mean, he beat him so bad the cops should have arrested him afterwards for domestic violence. There was just no question about it. I mean, 10 out of 12 rounds, that's how many rounds I thought that Campillo won. Of course, he got knocked down twice in the first round, so you can call that a 10-7 round if you want. But the bottom line is, I only gave him the first and the sixth. My friends, historians like Ronald Marshall, they gave him the first, the sixth, and the 12th. But outside of that, Tavares Cloud didn't win any of those rounds. How many rounds did you give him?
It's kind of hard for me to say because I didn't really score the fight round by round. But I think you could reasonably possibly have given him three rounds. And if you gave him more than three rounds, you're being extremely generous. And I think it's, you know, it was a robbery, but I think it's, you could possibly, I possibly can conceive somebody having it a draw, but I mean, that's like a major stretch. I can't see any way anybody could have had a Cloud winning on points, because I think after the first round, Campillo just put way too many rounds in the bank. I think he kind of did himself a disservice at the end of the 11th round, I believe, when he started raising his hands up, and that kind of alienates yourself with judges,
but the judge,
when you're the challenger. And I'm not saying it's right. Don't
I know,
get me
but
wrong.
The judges already had their minds made. Listen, the judges already had their minds made up. I used to knock guys down and stand with them with my hands over them, stand with my hands up. I didn't consider it disrespectful, okay? I didn't spit on guys or anything like that, like Tony Aiello used to do. But if I knocked the guy down,
I don't think it's the disrespectful thing to do. But when you're the guy that's the challenger, a guy like Campillo who's from Spain, and you're fighting in Texas, I think you got to, I mean, I think it's really unfair. That's the problem with boxing nowadays, is sometimes it's like you got to knock the guy out to get a draw when you're fighting away from home. And I think that's part of the this culture in boxing that needs to go away. Guys need to get a fair shake. It should not matter if the guy's at home, if he's fighting away from home. I think we need neutral officials, officials who are qualified, guys who their previous fights that they've judged need to be looked at under a microscope to show that these guys are actually, following the judging criteria or the scoring criteria, and it's being followed properly. They know how to properly judge and know what to look for and about. Because boxing, I mean, it's not like watching a football. I mean, it's two guys in a ring. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. The guy who's scoring the clean punches the majority of the time should be the guy winning the fight.
Okay.
I mean, that fight wasn't really that difficult of a fight to score.
Okay.
Campillo was landing most of the punches, and they were effective, and he should have won the fight.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you like this. If they appointed me to pick officials for these major title fights, you would not see the controversy that you see nowadays. You just wouldn't, because I know what officials to go to. I mean, the World Boxing Organization, it is one of my sponsors, but I will say this, that when Paco Valcarcel, Francisco Valcarcel, the president, when he has his choice and he picks his own officials, you don't see these controversies in WBO fights. You just don't see them, because most of these guys are told, look, no matter what happens, call it down the middle. Call it straight. Be straight about it. But, you know, when you get pulled into Las Vegas or into Miami or into, wherever, Fort Lauderdale, Don King does a lot of fights down there, or Atlantic City or whatever, and, you know, the promoter's bringing you in. The promoter submits a list of officials to the athletic commission. He says, I want Kevin Perry. I want Pedro Fernandez. I want Scott Cuddy. As far as referees concerned, as far as judges concerned, he'll come up with five or six guys. And then the athletic commission, what they do is they pick from the promoter's list. So essentially, the promoters are picking the officials. Okay. So at the end of the night, the promoters not only pick the officials, they pay the officials. So that's why guys like Gail Van Hoy, who I'm going to nickname from now on Gail Van Ho, this is why these guys keep getting these assignments. I mean, Dolby Shirley was probably one of the worst boxing officials in the history of Las Vegas. I'll never forget.
He's terrible.
The first Vito Altaferro and Marvin Hagler fight, and I'll be doing a commentary on Marvin Hagler during the last segment of today's show, which some of you Marvin Hagler fans might not like, because I took a lot of heat on this one for writing it. The article is at ringtalk.com. That's RINGTALK.com. But he scored the first Altaferro Hagler fight. He scored it either a draw or he gave it to Altaferro. So that's how blind Dolby Shirley is. But these guys keep getting rewarded. They keep getting fights. They keep getting these big title fights after screwing up time and again. If this was the NFL, if this was Major League Baseball, if this was soccer, okay, these guys would be booted out on that. You'd never see them again.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think boxing is it's really in a bad light, because what I always noticed about boxing is you rarely see boxing, for example, highlights on SportsCenter or anything talked about on ESPN. It seems like any time boxing is under a microscope, it's because of something negative. And I think it just really does a disservice to the sport. And I just can't understand why these guys get rewarded with these assignments. I don't understand what it really adds to the sport of boxing. I guess it adds to lining some promoters' pockets so they can get guys title shots.
Yep.
And or have guys keep their titles. But at the end of the day, if this stuff continues, I mean, it's really going to lose the boxing, the dwindling fan base it has, in, you know, especially in the United States. Well, in Germany, I think the people who watch boxing, who go to fights and stuff, I think they're so kind of out of the loop on what the rules are and that type of stuff. I think it doesn't affect them as much. Okay. They just kind of like to go see the event and, you know, the house guy wins and, you know, great.
Everybody goes home really happy, understand. And they drink a few beers. Now, I got less than a minute left. My last question to you is Guillermo Rigondeaux. He is Rigondeaux. He is the Cuban champion. Is he the most disrespected or the most unrespected fighter in boxing right now?
Possibly. I think part of the reason he's so... What bothers me is the guy had one fight that was boring. I mean, I've seen probably like five or six of the guy's fights. The guy only has nine fights. The guy's not going to be...
But he's a two-time Olympic gold medalist, though.
Yeah, but I understand that. But he has about, I think, seven knockouts in nine fights. His first title fight, he had seven pro fights. And it wasn't the most entertaining fight, but he was fighting a guy with about 50 professional fights. And he got criticism because he kind of appeared to run at the end. And I think guys are just going to avoid him. And I don't think it's really fair when, you know, a guy is, he's earned his spot. And I think it's, you know, people should give him a shot at some of the big fights and not overlook the guy just because, you know, he's a Cuban defector. He's earned his spot by being a two-time Olympic gold medalist.
There you have it, folks. That's why I call him KP. He is the king of ringtalk.com. I'm talking about the webmaster, Kevin Perry. Happy, what can I say, congratulations, Dad. Say hello to your lovely lady as well.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, Kevin Perry of ringtalk.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing. If you're a Marvin Hagler fan, might not want to listen to the next segment. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-368-0296. 800-368-0296. For free gold information, call now. 800-368-0296. 800-368-0296.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
This family is at home, but they won't be answering the door. They know that the pounding on the door is a process server from the court waiting to hand them foreclosure documents. So instead of enjoying the home they worked so hard to afford, they sit hiding in the dark.
Mom, what was that? but it doesn't have to be this way. This family can save their home, but they must act fast. Call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions at 800-274-7312. If you're being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, missed a payment on your mortgage, been a victim of a predatory loan, or are upside down on your home, it's critical that you call Allied State Foreclosure Solutions now. 800-274-7312. Allied State Foreclosure Solutions has an attorney in your area that will meet and speak with you. You can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, save your home and your credit, but you must act now. Call 800-274-7312. 800-274-7312.
Not available in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson.
Aha, the guitar of my buddy, Jeff Tamalier. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. And don't forget, each and every Saturday at noon Pacific time, we do an hour of MMA. That's right, no boxing, just MMA, mixed martial arts. We talk about the UFC, we talk about Bellator, the Bellator Fighting Championships. We talk about Strikeforce, we talk about the different entities in the world of mixed martial arts. And there are many, but obviously UFC is the big gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla on the block. Now, Marvin Hagler, a blue-collar guy, no question about it. If ever there was a fighter who exemplified the blue-collar worker here in the United States, it was one-time world middleweight champion Marvin Hagler. Although he officially changed his name to Marvelous, having spent a decent amount of time around Marvin, the name Marvelous fit him about as well as a pair of shoes like three or four sizes too big. And he was respected. I mean, I respected him until the end. That being said, I'm not going to spend the majority of this rant here ripping him a new orifice as Hagler, with the exception of one fight, which I'll go into detail later, was the epitome of a champion. I mean, he was the best amateur in the country. He won the National Golden Gloves about 30 years ago out of Massachusetts, a feat duplicated only recently by current super middleweight contender Edwin Rodriguez. Hagler still broke into the Olympic, professional ranks with little or no fanfare. He went 24-0-1. The draw coming against 1972 Olympian Sugar Ray Seals in 1974. This after beating the almost blind boxer by majority decision earlier in the same year, but that was in Seattle. Having trained alongside Marvin for several fights at Johnny Taco's ringside gym, that's how tight I was with Taco, leading up to the Thomas Hearns fight, the Roberto Duran fight, and the Ray Leonard fight, I never found Marvin as self-confident as I did while training for Ray Leonard or Roberto Duran, who turned out to be the fighter that intimidated Hagler the most once they stepped between the two rings, once they stepped between the ropes. Okay, he beat the two guys that beat him. I mean, there were two guys that beat Marvin early on, Boogaloo Watts and Willie Monroe. He beat both those guys, no question about it, and this was prior to his sellout against Ray Leonard. Now get into that. I credit Marvin for his great ring ability, but like many fighters, he wasn't the smartest guy I've ever met, although perhaps the greediest. To his detriment, Hagler had cornermen like Goody and Pat Patrinelli. I think Pat just, or Goody just passed away in the past few weeks here. I would have never used him in my corner while winning seven amateur boxing championships. In other words, their lack of boxing acumen and common sense probably cost Hagler the fight. On a scale of 1 to 10, the Patrinellis would score about a 5. Okay, so here's what he did. Marvin was going to get $12 to $15 million to fight Leonard. Instead, he got $25 million to fight Leonard. Why? Because he cut the amount of rounds from 15 to 12. Leonard asked for that. Leonard asked for a giant ring. Leonard asked for the gloves to be of his specification. Marvin did everything but sell his then wife or his offspring during negotiations. So when I spent some time with Hagler one-on-one in Mexico about a few years ago, you know, he was with a blonde that protected him like the Revolutionary Guard protected Saddam Hussein. Anyway, during the interview, when I brought up Ray Leonard, he got up and he got all pissed off and left the room. So I could care less, you know. But the bottom line is, you know, these keyboard writers, they say, oh, yeah, you know, Marvin Hagler was the greatest middleweight of all time. Well, he wasn't the greatest middleweight of all time. He turned out to be a great champion, but he sold himself like a crack hoe. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.